God is silent. What do we do when sometimes our prayers seem to go unanswered? There are many men and women of God in biblical times that question the often seemingly silence of God. But today I'd like to share two verses of scripture taken from Psalm 35:12 and 13b. We find David once again praying for rescue from his enemies, who always seem to be pursuing him. He is asking why God won't intervene for him. In these verses, David particularly questions God's seemingly silence. David writes, "They repay me evil for good to the bereavement of my soul. I humbled my soul with fasting, but my prayer kept returning to my bosom." So we learn here that David humbled himself. He fasted and prayed. Where was God? Why was God silent? Have you ever questioned God's silence in your own life? I served as a pastoral counselor and hospital chaplain for 10 years, and the most asked questions I received from those who were ill was, "Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why is God silent?" And so it is in the midst of personal tragedy and physical and emotional suffering. Men and women grope for relevant answers to the enigma of human hardship. Does God not hear us when we pray in our suffering? Or is God immune and indifferent to our suffering? What do we do when God acts or does not act in his sovereignty in ways that do not strike us as adequate? Have you ever asked God, "Why me, Lord? Why now?" Why is God often silent in our suffering? When all our human efforts fail to understand human hardship, we are left with the mystery of God's silence. There are those who attest that God is indifferent. He doesn't care what's happening to us in the world. How often we've come to the same conclusion as David when he was fleeing from his enemies. Often David believed God had abandoned him. And to David, it seemed the only logical explanation of what was happening in the midst of God's silence. God's silence and inactivity, David sometimes argued, most denote his indifference. So similarly, we cannot understand. Because we cannot understand, we tend to doubt and to question the silence of God. So where does our understanding begin? We must believe that God is present in our anguish, that good will ultimately prevail. Yet, still questions remain. How is God present? How will God good prevail? How do we know this? Especially when the answers are not coming as we think they should. How is God present within tragedy? These questions are as relevant today as it was in ancient biblical times when authors struggled with it, especially David. I'd like to share a personal example of God's presence in the midst of tragedy through a testimony of a friend of mine, a former single missionary friend. I'll call her Mary. Mary faced a dark and lonely valley on the mission field. She and one married missionary were kidnapped by terrorists in Central America. They were held hostage for 3 weeks, waiting for ransom money from the U.S. The terrorists often changed areas of captivity, and they were forced to sleep on the hard forest floor with a flimsy blanket and very little food. The Christian women slept close together and wrapped blankets around them for obvious reasons. They feared that one of the drunken terrorists might come in the middle of the night and rape them. Mary's worst fear became a nightmare reality. Only a few days before her release, one of the terrorists beside her at night and raped her. He never touched the married missionary. Why Mary? When local police finally found the two women, they shot the terrorists. For psychological therapy due to intense trauma she experienced. Mary asked the Christian therapist a very sobering question. Where was God? Wisely, the Christian therapist responded, "He was right there with you, weeping along with you, sharing in your suffering." My friend, through tears, shared with me that therapist's response, that God was with her, weeping with her, resonated deeply with Mary, and that began her emotional healing process. We all know that God did not create a world in which there is evil, but he did create a world in which, through the abuse of freedom, evil could occur. We can place the blame of evil where it belongs, upon the abuse of freedom of humankind and Satan. God neither wills evil or causes it. The problem of God's silence and suffering to most people is an enigma. To others, it's a cause for intense anger and indignation. How does one individual surpass personal tragedy with conquest while another becomes bitter in spirit? What factors elicit such conflicting responses to the problem of suffering? That great missionary, E. Stanley Jones, tirelessly and earnestly sought to offer ways in which suffering humanity can find meaning and purpose in their afflictions and hardships. Through his own physical suffering, he had a paralytic stroke. He discovered two essential elements in understanding the enigma of human suffering. And these are obedience and self-surrender. When human answers fail to assuage, it's obedience to the will of God, which turns negation of suffering into affirmation of significance. Dr. Jones asserted that the answer comes to us when we see Christ in the midst of our suffering. just as my missionary friend Mary came to believe. In the midst of the horror of her rape, God was with her, and she clung to that hope. Why is hope important to those who suffer? Because hope offers healing. Because hope is stronger than memory. Hope in the knowledge that God is with his people is stronger than the memory of the pain we may experience in the past or present. Hope helps us to believe that God is with us. Most often in the midst of God's silence, people feel separated from God. And feeling separated from God becomes a real problem for many. God understands our loneliness and our suffering. There's a popular bumper sticker you may have seen, and it provokes a thought-provoking theological statement. It says, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? We have much to learn on this topic of God's silence in suffering from our East European Christian friends when they stated, you Western Christians often seem to consider material prosperity to be the only sign of God's blessing. On the other hand, you often seem to perceive poverty or discomfort and suffering as God's silence or disfavor. In some ways, we in the East understand suffering from the opposite perspective. We believe in the East that suffering may be a sign of God's favor and trust in the Christians to whom the trial is permitted to come. So as we conclude today, it is not wrong for us to question God's silence. But when we do, we must remember three unfailing things about God. Number one, God is sovereign. He is always in control. Secondly, God is omnipresent. He is always with us, whether we sense him or not. And three, we must believe that God is good. Our African brothers and sisters would say all the time, God is good. Thank you for letting me share this morning, and I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you in all your ways. God bless you.